Thank you for tuning in to episode 11 of the Keto Matrix podcast. I can't believe we're at episode 11. And honestly, nothing better than this episode that Brittany and I recorded in my car. Well, I'm actually not sure where Brittany was, but I was in my car. It was an absolutely fantastic Friday of craziness that was going on, as I know you guys have dealt with life before. And we had the chance to just catch up and chat a little bit about Brittany and where she's at on her keto journey. Whether you just started keto, whether you've been keto for a long period of time, there are moments in time in your life where on this journey, you kind of throw your hands up and try to figure out exactly what you should be doing or how you should be doing it or how you can make keto work with where you are currently in life. And this is one of those candid conversations where Brittany and I just kind of talk through those things, life events that she has coming up, things that she's gone through, and look at how keto fits for her right now. So if you're one of those people, this is definitely an episode you'll want to relate to, listen to, and share. I also want to throw out there for those that have reached out to me in different social media platforms to say, hey, you're listening and you're loving things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that feedback. We appreciate you guys listening in. And hey, if there's someone that you think would listen to this podcast and gain some insight from it, please share. I don't want to hold this up. Without further ado, let's jump into the latest episode.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, what do you know? Hey.
Look at that technology. Oh, I don't know. I don't understand what's the deal. This has just been an epically failed Friday.
But you're still going, so it's not a total fail.
No, it's not. You know, I think it's funny is every time I get really comfortable with technology, like, oh yeah, I've got this all handled. Something just throws me for an absolute loop and it makes me want to pull out the rest of my mohawk hair. So,
don't do that. That's your branding. That's your branding.
I know. So I can't do that. That's probably not suggested or advised. But
right. Can you hear me okay?
As far I can.
As volume? Okay.
Listen, I have never at all ever even looked at recording a podcast while sitting in my car. So I'm pretty sure that no matter what, it's not going to be as great as far as audio quality, but it'll be enough that people can hear us, listen to, and they'll have to appreciate
it. It's got
to
be better than, oh crap. Now I'm totally drawing a blank on her name, but the one that we recorded.
Oh, with Angela?
Yeah, that Angela. One was, it's got to be better than that. Like that was fighting hurricanes and.
Oh my goodness.
Listen. Blackouts and all the things.
So it's so funny. It's like, I feel like we've had him on the show so many times, I guess we can say his name without issues. But so Robert Sykes, and I had mentioned this when we recorded with him, and I was like, he's like, yeah, man, you should totally do a podcast because it's, you know, very low barriers to entry. He's like, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. You know, he's like, I don't even edit mine. He's like, I shoot them. I keep them raw. He's like, I'll snip the front, the back, put an intro and keep rolling. And I was like, cool. This sounds like super easy. Like I need to do a podcast. And that episode made me rethink everything because seriously, like trying to record the commercial breaks in. And I want to say I was editing that for like 4 hours.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. It was mind numbing, literally mind numbing. But I will say the last few episodes, and I mean like the last episode that aired was episode 10, right? So yeah. I've only had to edit technically for this podcast 10 episodes. I have a different podcast that talks different things. I've had to work on editing those. But with that said, the last podcast episode, Monster Mass, with Danny and Robert was by far the easiest one to edit because, I mean, like knowing when to start recording so that there is no need to have to like clip or clear the front and all that kind of, like, it's just, it was a lot better. I still am not cool with like the studio setup as far as like how I have things set for audio quality. And then honestly, I get too excited when I'm recording sometimes.
No way.
And yeah, I know. And then like the audio peaks really high. So, you know, trying to cut that out and put a volume limiter in, and it's like I shared recently on my Instagram, I was like, this is really a learning curve. But I appreciate the fact that I'm learning it. So it is what it is.
There you go. Never know when you can really use it in the future.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know for what, but I mean, yeah. And I mean, it does help with like the other podcasts, like the ones for some of my other professional background things has been cool. Having said that, though, I know we haven't talked in like forever. Happy belated birthday. So all the listeners know that you're now 21.
Yes.
And congrats on that.
Thank you.
But, you know, we never really kind of solidified. I know we had talked about it briefly offline, but so is this going to be like a insight into my typical coaching calls? Did you have other specific things you wanted to talk about or talk through? What did you kind of want today's recording to look like?
You know, I mean, I just figured it would be, we, like you said, we haven't talked in a while, so we can kind of catch up. And if we kind of make it more a coaching call, that's cool. I know that where I'm at right now with things is not generally where you typically encourage your clients to be, but I also think that it could be kind of
beneficial for other people to
be identifiable with someone who's still really like pretty early on in the journey. I know I like to think that, oh my God, I've been doing this for at least 6 months. Like I should be a pro at this. But then when I'm realistic about it, I'm like, yes, this is the longest you have ever stuck with any one way of doing something. But it's still really early in the grand scheme of things.
Life. Yeah. So yeah, we could totally do that. We'll recap a few things and like where I'm going, and then we can sounds talk cool about that stuff too, and then put it together. So I mean, you know, my coaching calls are always so unique. You know, certain clients will call me a keto Nazi. Certain clients think I'm way too easy on them, which I don't know why, because I feel like I'm
pretty, those people must be masochists.
Yeah, right. You know, but yeah. So
I wouldn't go to a Nazi for you, but I could see where people could see that. Like depending, like where they're at, I could see where they could come from.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, like,
again, I don't think you are, but I could see that.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's impossible for me to be a keto Nazi, right? Like, I'm black. It still wouldn't, like, it just wouldn't work.
And you don't have a mustache, so.
I do have a full, like, the whole goatee thing going on. But either way, still, it wouldn't work. The mohawk, too, I think would be
fine. Yeah, that also disqualifies you.
But aside from that, I know people are, my clients and everyone else, they're always just like, you're so, it's got to be this way, and I just feel like things get confusing when you start focusing on gray. So
I think that for like when you're working with a coach or someone who is pushing you, like today in my workout, in the weight room, if the screen turned black and white, you had to drop and do 13 burpees. Well, during the one segment for both sets of the group, it wasn't going to turn black and white, but the coach was still insistent that we needed to do 13 burpees in that segment. So he just was like, okay, we're doing 13 burpees right now. And that really pissed me off in the moment. And I did not appreciate it. I don't technically appreciate it now, but I do appreciate it because I know that it's pushing me and it's making me better. So to the same extent, like if you always just gave me exactly what I wanted to hear, that's not coaching either. The same for your other client. Like you still have to continually push people. And even if it only moves them halfway to the point that you're theoretically trying to get them to, they've still made progress.
True story. Yeah. I'm with you on that. So having nothing to do with nutrition, right? Like I think that's one of the things that when I'm looking at, I don't know, other people that have like solid workout partners and solid workout groups and or coaches, it's tough. Like this is going to go too much transparency, but like I won't at this point in time in life hire a personal trainer, right? And people are like, why? Well, for a whole bunch of reasons. One, I've certified twice already, right? Mm-hmm. So not that I know everything in the world, right? Because you can always learn. I'm always in the learning phase of life, right? But I am very aware that there are some trainers that are really, really good. Some that are really, really not. Some that go to master their craft, and some people that are just like, yeah, well, I did what I needed to do so that I could get the certification. I mean, that's even seen by depending on like what organization they use to certify. Right. So knowing what my unique goals are and knowing how I'm going to attack and approach those things, unless I feel like you are absolutely on board to help me achieve those things, it's really difficult to find. Right. And then on top of that, finding someone that's really going to push. Right. Like there's very few people when I look at who's out there that I would say coach me, I would be like, yeah, I could totally have that person coach me. And I know that they will push me to a better version of myself. Like, I've never even met this man, but Ben Pekulski.
I've heard of him.
Yes. So he is absolutely inspirational in the way he approaches breaking muscle function, utilization. He has a muscle intelligence podcast, which I would totally recommend everyone that is into improving muscle functionality. Go check it out. But he runs the MI40 gym. He's a professional bodybuilder. Like he takes things and breaks it down so much differently than most I've ever heard. And other flashbacks into the past. I used to, this is so stupid. Not really, but I did it. I used to wake up at like 4:30 in the morning, like middle school. And there used to be this old, old show that came on in the morning. It was called Flex. And it was like Sean Ray and Lee Haney and all these like really old school bodybuilders. And they would just work out, but they would talk through like why the movements, what movements were selected, blah, blah, blah. And it was like my first like inspirational into going beyond just moving weight from point A to point B and looking at how to target muscles and then why and what ways you're doing it. And it's fascinating to me that as long as people have been working out, which is ages upon ages, there are still so many people that go through the motions and don't really connect with what they're trying to do and why they're trying to do it, specifically in the purpose of breaking down muscle tissue so that it comes back stronger. And I think Ben does a really good job at reigniting that passion and understanding and relaying it well. I think he really does talk through those things like muscle insertion points and the absolute point of contraction and how and why. And it's a refreshing thing to witness. Having said all of that, though, I do think we all need to be pushed at some point in time. So I will continue to push everyone. But I also think, and I think Robert in episode 10 was kind of talking through the people want things overnight and they just don't stick to them long enough. And he said, real truth is shown in action, right? Like just in doing it and just shut up and do it, right? Like if you're actually doing it, you will see and notice the results of that. And too many people are caught up in the paralysis analysis of, well, I'm going to analyze the best way and this way and that way and never actually get anything done. So I digress. When we look at what I've been doing lately, which starting in October, I have been eating way more food than I even want. Like it's just ridiculous. So I will say I have, and I still agree that fat will keep you full where you're not feeling hungry, right? Like
right.
Fat being a satiety thing. There's people that post all this inaccurate information regarding, yeah, use fat as a lever and whatever that even means. I don't even know
like,
what that means.
I was just about to ask you, I was like, what does that mean? But okay.
Exactly. I don't know. But people post it and they're like, yeah, do that. It's stupid. But, you know, you can have high levels of fat and not be hungry. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm cool with that. I've done that. Whether it's in quantities, like, you know, Robert's doing 550 grams of fat. So whether it's quantities, like a high amount of fat, or if it's the percentage of fat that you're consuming, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are at 80%+ of your macro intake coming from fat, you won't feel hungry. But what I will say is protein makes you feel stuffed. like I can have 200 grams of fat, 300 grams of fat, right? And I won't be hungry, but I won't feel full.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
protein's keto coffee heavy. It sits heavy.
Yeah, right. So with my protein right now being specifically targeted at 1.5 grams per lean pound of body mass, it is tough to consume that much food. Like I literally don't feel like eating. I feel like if I eat any more, I'm going to massively blow up.
What's your IF window look like?
What IF window? What
okay. Well, about? That's what I was just going to like, I guess that's what I should have asked is if you were still doing IF. Cause I know that can be a thing. Cause you were doing pretty constricted windows. So.
Yeah, I can't. Like, I do by accident. And when I say by accident, like, I'm still not a, oh my goodness, it's breakfast, so I need to eat. That's not happening. That's not a thing. Like, I'm never at that point. And so I would assume that if I weren't calculating it, which I'm not, my assumption would be that I'm still like 14 hours between last meal, first meal, mm-hmm. knowing that I am a firm believer that must be 16. I would say more often than not, I'm probably there just based on, again, the default of busy mornings. And by the time I actually get to eat, it is what it is. The issue that I find, though, is that I have to, in order to hit my 1.5 grams, right? Like, 'cause it's basically 198 grams mm-hmm. of protein. I have to sometimes eat late. Like, I finished a steak last night at, I don't know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Ooh. And it was a rather large steak, like 12 ounces or so. So more often than not, I'm having those nights. And so for me to say it's going to be 2 or 3 o'clock before I eat again, especially knowing that that 2 or 3 o'clock means that now I'm now going to have to try to eat 200 grams between 3 o'clock and, if I ever get to bed, 10. It's not, it's just, it just perpetuates the cycle, right? So now I'm always eating late. So my point is, like, that's, it's not happening. I will when I can, but I don't push it. And I'm 6 days on, 1 day off. So I will try on the day before my rest day to try to make sure I end early so that I can fast into the rest day. And I'm doing that more so because I want to give my digestive tract a break. I don't want to, and I do not constantly feed it. So that is something I still do not do, right? So I'm not like a 6 small meals a day. I am still eating massive meals when I do, because I don't want the constant insulin spikes that are still going to happen. And because of the protein being so high, it's going to impact insulin more so than just fat, right? So I'm not like 6 meals a day in order to get my protein in. It's still like 1,200, 1,300 calorie meals. And, you know, I sat down and ate, you know, like 20 wings. I will do 18 to 20 ounces of steak. Like, I'm saying this stuff and I'm just like, I don't want to eat. But having said that, I will say it's been absolutely remarkable. My weight has not changed really at all. Like, I'm in the same 3-pound range that I've been in since October 1st. And it's, you know, it's basically 174 to 177. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along that spectrum, I'm at 177. Other times I'm at 174. Like, it's just where that is. Hasn't changed. This morning was unique. Like, yesterday, crazy day. I have a crazy weekend. So I kind of did a fat refeed where I had a lot more fat later in the day than anything else, just to kind of see where things are. And then, as I told you earlier, one of the reasons this Friday has been so crazy is because I use a sleep app on my phone, which tracks my sleep so that I get my efficiency levels and all that kind of stuff. But it's on my phone, right? So my phone decided it needed to update overnight. And when it updated overnight, it totally took off my alarm and closed that app out, which sucks. So I got way more sleep than I needed, which I shouldn't say I got more, way more than I needed, because obviously if I slept how long I needed it. But I got way more sleep than I had scheduled for. And that started the day off crazy. But I woke up super lean today, like just crazy lean. Now, the funny thing is, I woke up super lean, but I'm still within that same range of 174 to 177. Like, I think it was like 176.8 or something this morning. So it's unique knowing that that's the reaction to the fat refeed and the percentage of things, and then having the extra sleep. Because, oh, and my blood sugar was super low this morning. Not low like I felt dizzy or anything, but low, right, like, but just you could tracking, tell. Like I slept long enough for my insulin cycle to totally do its job and work things out. So It was, I don't know. Those are the kind of things that fascinate me from day in and day out. But I just, as I turn my fat down, as this process continues, which I probably won't even start doing that until like February or March. So my numbers will probably be pretty much the same until then, because this is all about building muscle, right? Mm-hmm. So like February, March, I'll probably start turning my fat down, and then I'll do a 3-month cut where I turn fat down as often as I need to continue leaning out, but still keeping my protein right around the 1.5 grams. Per lean pound. So I don't know, man, it's been tough. I can definitely say muscle size and volume is increasing nicely. Workouts have been absolutely brutal, and I have been doing 2-a-days every day with the exception of my 1 day off. So I do a large body part in the morning, a smaller one in the afternoon or evening, and I do that every day, so that every muscle group gets twice a week. So it's been crazy.
Are you still doing the Thinx app, or are you doing, what kind of lifts and stuff are you doing?
Cool. Very good question. So I'm doing both, right? Like, I basically use Stenex as a warm up. So when I'm warming up my muscles to kind of spark and get my central nervous system pulled into it, get my ligaments and joints ready, I will do calisthenics to start. And I do use Stenex as a base just because I think the variety is good. I think his approach to things is really cool. So yeah, check that out. I'll put Stenex in. He does really cool stuff. That's calisthenic body weight, which calisthenics, for those that are listening and don't know, it's just basically body weight exercises.
But don't be fooled by that, because they are brutal. Oh, I haven't even actually done them. I just went into the app after we talked about it the one day, and I started looking at things, and I was like, yeah, I use the excuse that I just don't have the setup at my current living place or my gym setup to be able to do it, but I'm not in a hurry to fix either one of those situations either.
Yeah, it is definitely. You know what's funny is, like, when I first was like, I'm going to check out calisthenics, you know, some of the rep ranges, I was like, whatever, 15 push-ups, that's easy. And then I'm like, how did I only do 6? I don't understand. So yeah, like, body weight exercising is absolutely ridiculous, but I think I don't want to make this like too confusing for people, right? But in looking at the myofibrillar and the sarcoplasmic aspects of hypertrophy, when you look at calisthenics and the volume and glucose, like, that aspect of things, I really think more is on the sarcoplasmic side. But when you look at really lifting heavy weight and gaining strength and moving those things, you really work on the other end of the spectrum. And the combination of the two, I think, is where it's at. So doing warm-ups with the calisthenics, I think, is fantastic. It also keeps me very athletic. So with, like, decoying and being able to keep pain out of my body, I think that's fantastic. And it's functional, right? But then, for instance, working tonight, I can guarantee you, with some of the drunken individuals that I'll be dealing with, when I go to throw you on the ground, right, I don't want to have to worry about the fact that my body weight is less than your body weight. Like, I need the power to be able to put you in the submissive place to get you under control. So to have actual strength and power, that's relative for what's necessary, I think, is still important too. So the combination has been fantastic. And I really don't think that in any one time in my life, I have focused as hard as I have been on really contracting weight up and not just moving it via inertia and the distance traveled from point A to point B. So it's been cool. And, little known factoid, I don't want to say it's a meme, because it's not really a meme, but there's this picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger from his heyday of bodybuilding. And it says something about the mind will always quit before the body, so prep yourself, or something like that. And everyone has always, that I've ever seen, has always commented on it based on, like, you know, you can accomplish anything you believe, but you have to believe first and blah, blah, blah. When I listen to it now, or when I read it now, and I think about, like, actually working out and having a really strong, like, central nervous system connection and contracting your muscles, I read it totally differently. And my thought process is, and what I've experienced is, your ability to connect on a deep level with contracting your muscles for workouts, your mind will give up and stop before your body's actually done being able to do the work. But the question you have to ask yourself is, then do you continue working out beyond that? Or do you say, okay, I can't connect as deeply as I was anymore, so I'm not actively breaking the muscle tissue down as much as I can, so I should quit? Because I think that's something also that's, like, forgotten. You can go to a workout, like, I'm only doing 16 sets per body part when I work out. So that breaks down to 32 sets per week. But I cannot even imagine mentally contracting the muscles as targeted as I'd like them to on a 17th set. Like, literally my mind is spent to the point where I'm like, I can't focus on contracting that hard for another set. Now, I don't know if that'll improve and change. I am working on taking some other things to kind of improve my mental acuity and ability to do so, my focus on those things. But that aspect of things, I think, has been really eye-opening for me, because literally I feel like, yeah, my muscles can still do work, but is my brain and is my mental capacity to do work at the same intensity level the same? And I don't find it after the 16th set. So there's that. Great. That was a lot.
That was a lot.
And we didn't talk about keto at all.
Nope. That's okay. I mean, we did kind of, like, we talked about your nutrition leading into that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The combination has been cool. My DEXA scan has been pushed back a bunch of times, not a bunch of times, twice. So it was supposed to be on the 19th, and it's actually the 1st, which is a week from yesterday. So I'm interested to have that for no other reason than a baseline to really see how much lean body mass I build between now and, I don't know, next year. And I'll probably go quarterly to get the testing done so I can kind of post up those results. But I'm just looking forward to the fact that there's really not, you know, Robert, by the time he came to scene, he was already really built. So it was tough to see his progress over the period of time of, you know, doing keto and doing things properly. There are a few other people out there like Goody Beats, Jason Whitrock, even Danny Vega. Like, those guys have built themselves prior to keto and now maintain through keto. Or like, I think Goody Beats, he built through keto, but he did like a targeted and cyclical approach at different times. So those are all people that if you don't follow, go follow. But in looking at that, I'm excited to be able to diligently show, look, my carbs are always below 10 grams. This is the muscle built in this process, and just give people a clear viewpoint into how much can be done. Because I'm definitely like looking at my pictures now and when I was like single digits in body fat before, like I am a lot more full than ever before, and it's really cool to see than ever before via keto, not than ever before. So it's been pretty cool.
Cool.
Having said all that though, what's life been? I know you had your birthday. I'm not sure if you decided you were going to go do your cheat or not, but I mean, where's to talk about the struggle? Because I know it's I know it can be a struggle sometimes.
Yeah, so I had my birthday. It was in the middle of a vacation with my family down in Florida. It ended up being a very extended off book. Like, it wasn't like a full all out cheat. It was just like I was on vacation with them, and I some meals, if it worked in, was gonna be like the nights we would grill steak or do burgers, like that was easy. I didn't do the bun, and I did like I didn't do the potato chips and the stuff, but the days we went out, and the one restaurant on Fridays, they have fish and chips, and like that's the big special. Like, I totally put down fish and chips, and it was wonderful, by the way. and
so it wasn't like Arthur Treacher's, like this was
no
legit.
This is like it's this restaurant, and it's fresh fit, like fresh caught fish, freshly fried, yeah, like all the stuff
that all the freshes,
even better, all the freshens, all the things that makes it that much better. Cool. So yeah, so it was a very extended vacation of eating whatever. Came back and got back on to eating on target. The crazy thing is that outside of like the very last day was the only day that I blew negative. So like I am still kind of mind blown. Like at one point I was almost going to have my sister blow into my breathalyzer because I was going to be like, is this thing broken? Like, is it just going to continue to tell me that I am blowing
in a ketogenic state?
Yeah. One of my friends was like, your body just must really love keto. That's cool. And I was like, I mean, I'm not complaining, but it just was kind of mind boggling to me knowing that I had not really maintained. I did continue to work out the whole time, mostly because I'm doing a half marathon in a week and a half. So I wanted to get some, like it was not continuing to do Orange Theory there because crazy, I was in Florida, which is where
it's
probably, like, right? It's the mecca of Orange Theory, and it's everywhere except for Fort Walton Beach or Destin, Florida. The closest one is over, well, about an hour away in Pensacola or in Panama City.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Which, by the way, very thankful that because we were so the hurricane hit the day after my birthday. We were evacuating on my birthday, and so that made a very memorable year. I mean, they're always memorable whenever we get to go to Florida for it, but this year particularly, because we ended up having it was a forced evacuation. We were fine. We got to go back the next day, and thankfully, I mean, we had electricity. We didn't really have any problem. I think Charlotte got hit harder with the storm than we did, but like we were right in quote the belt that it could have. So
cool.
Well,
not cool, but cool.
Yeah. It was inconvenient, but everyone was safe. And actually, my brother was down, and it bought him an extra day and a half because he was supposed to fly out Wednesday morning, and the airport was closed. So his flight got moved to Thursday evening. So that was a nice little birthday present, was to get to spend an extra day and a half with him.
Right, which for everyone that's listening, that's like, why does that matter?
Yeah, he's in the Marines. Sorry.
Yeah.
yeah, he's in the Marines. And so for him to have the leave to be last year when we went on family vacation, he was not able to go because the hurricane, I forget which one that was, had hit, and he was having to go and do a lot of rescue and repair work and stuff. So it was good to have the entire family there this year. And had, outside of the day of the hurricane, and a little bit of rain the day before, had wonderful weather the entire time. So it was all good. Came back, and I am finishing out my last little bit of time at work. Wednesday, 3 days from now. Well, not 3 days from today, but this was my last full week of work. Next week, I only work a 3-day week, and then I will be done with them forever, in theory. And so,
congratulations.
Thank you. It is a very bittersweet thing. Like, there's a lot of parts of it that I am like, oh, thank God this is done. But I will miss a lot of people. And that's something that you had really challenged me on, kind of looking at what would, because I was, prior to vacation, we had a conversation about how I was seeing all the physical signs for me that I was stressed out, but I did not feel stressed. Like, I was like, I know I'm stressed, but I don't know what I'm stressed about.
right.
And no, for those, I don't remember exactly what we've talked about on here for it, but
that's okay. I mean, throw it out there. I mean, because it's very possible people are listening to this episode, they didn't listen to any of the other ones anyway.
Right. So I had about in July, I turned in my letter of resignation for my job.
Because you want to do keto full time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And I didn't know what I was doing next. I just knew that it was time to take a step. And that was the step that I felt like I was supposed to take. So turned in my letter of resignation, gave 90 business days for them to find a replacement for me. And so that comes to the end next week. And
so gracious, by the way.
What was that?
I said, that's so gracious, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. It was mostly there. I mean, there was definitely some selfish reasons in that too. It covered my vacation and,
well, yeah, I mean, you know,
there's that. But no, I did know that my position is pretty, individualized. So to find someone who had those same interests could be a little bit difficult. So, so coming into that, up until this past week, I did not know for sure what I was doing next. And AJ thought that he definitely did, but I was like, yeah, okay, that's great. That's my working plan and that's what I'm working towards. But until I hear the definitive, hey, this position is yours, I still had to keep an open mind about things. So,
I mean, again, and we could go into this, but I mean, I don't want to call myself a prophet or anything, but you know, I'm just saying I can see the future.
yeah.
Wait, so before you go through that the rest of that stuff, because I feel like there's people listening in, a couple of things that I kind of want to point out. One, the metabolic flexibility that's obtained when you change fuel sources permanently over to something different, like keto, is why you were able to still run on ketones and not be negative for that extended period of time. Obviously, your body's going to eventually say, okay, well, we're getting more of this than that, and so it'll change. But, you know, it's no different than that person that's like, I'm going to go keto, and they've been eating and running their body on glucose for 23 years. And they think that if they have a keto coffee every morning and don't eat a bun, that eventually they're going to just flip the switch into running on ketones. And that's just not the case. So You have to be strict keto for an extended period of time. And when that happens, if for some reason you go through this hiatus of, or a period of time of eating more flexibly, you will still find your body running in that zone. However, it's again, not a place that I recommend anyone stay for any extended period of time, but it is something, like I've said before, why people think that something is keto approved because they can eat it and not be kicked out of ketosis. It just blows my mind. I could eat a half a gallon of ice cream and be in ketosis the next day. That doesn't mean that that's keto approved. So I think that's cool. The other thing that you mentioned about being stressed, but not really feeling like you're stressed, I think is why, I don't want to say I think is why. It's why I always ask my clients to provide me numbers daily. I know for some of them, they feel like it's just me being some kind of stickler, but I don't care what you tell me. I don't know what your body is saying without those parameters. You know, I could wake up and say, oh my goodness, I feel great. I feel amazing. And my body could be like, yeah, you may feel amazing, but guess what? You didn't sleep well. You aren't running on ketones nearly as deep as you should. Your protein levels, though you may thought you entered them correctly because of whatever you use, whether it was the UPC on the back of the bag of chicken wings or whatever you pulled up in MyFitnessPal. If you don't know, the easiest way to check for accuracy is to look at the numbers. If I typically have a blood glucose of X, Y, or Z, and then all of a sudden I wake up one day and it's completely different, there's a reason for that, whether I feel it or not. Whether you think you're stressed or not, when you were giving me your numbers, I could say, look, I know the macros that you're hitting. You're telling me you've hit these numbers. I know how your body responds based on the file and the information that I keep on you, how your body typically deals with this. And so you're getting and having a cortisol response, whether you're aware of it or not, that's causing a change. And so you need to look into it. And those are the things that I think come from and are invaluable when someone's like, oh, should I get coaching or not? Because, or if they're just doing this on their own and they're trying to learn and understand their body, like you have to have those things to take out how you may feel. The DEXA scan, I'm not getting a DEXA scan because I need to see if I look fit. I look in the mirror and I know how I look and I know how I feel about how I look. That's fantastic. But I need a DEXA scan to take out the emotional aspect of my tie-in on that so that I can see in black and white where my body's at, where I want it to go, and how far away I am in that distance. And those are the things that I think those tools that are involved really help us find out, discover, and understand, because a lot of us, we don't know. It's the same reason why I keep telling people, you can't just say I'm going to eat until I'm full and eat when I'm hungry. Do you know when you're hungry? Do you really know when you're full? Like, those things aren't the same necessarily. So I think those are all huge things. And I hope people that are listening recognize that, you know, it's okay wherever you are in this journey, but it is a journey, and it's okay to be in a situation where I really, really want fish and chips. I think the biggest thing that I still stand to date, and I won't change on, is I'm okay with people having a cheat day or deciding to schedule a plan where they're eating off of their keto parameters. But as long as it's a planned thing, I don't want people to be like, I'm so stressed out, I ate Ben and Jerry's. Because that's an underlying issue that has absolutely nothing to do with keto and should be something that's addressed and taken care of ahead of time. You know, like that's the aspect of things that I think is where I'm like, look, if you want to continue to grow and get better and get stronger, like this is an area where you have to say, hey, I'm not going to allow myself to emotionally go down this rabbit hole because I think that there is peace at the bottom of this tub of ice cream or the other end of that brownie or whatever. Does that make sense? Without sounding too like crazy over the sound.
Nope, that makes sense.
Cool. So I think that that's like all stuff that people should be listening to the saying, man, that's freeing. I hope it's freeing because someone's listening to this right now and they're either A, beating themselves up absolutely way too hard because they want to eat Thanksgiving with their family, and or B, don't realize that it's okay to push yourself every day and know that there's going to be a day where you're like, hey, I need a break. So, I'm sorry. Continue. So, where are you at now?
So when the reason I gave all of that background, is because we were seeing things with my numbers, but I physically, like, I could not bend my head like put my chin to my chest. Like my neck and shoulders were so tight. Like, and so again, and I wasn't sleeping well, which is very unusual for me, whether I'm being strict keto or not. Like I've never had problems with sleep unless I'm stressed out. Normally my brain will race and I can like figure out what it is that I'm stressed about. Then I just couldn't sleep. But anyhow, I really, at the time I felt like the only thing that made me stressed out was tracking my numbers and food and weight and like if I eat this what's going to happen and just constantly worrying about that. And really the reason that I was seeing that a lot was because I was doing a lot more eating out socially, which I do a ton of that anyway, just as part of my general life. Like that's, I don't know if it's part of being single or whatever, like that's just what I do, is eat out with friends often. But I found myself turning down different stations to do stuff because I knew that I couldn't make it work with my macros, or like it was at a restaurant or someplace that I was like, they don't have anything simple there to like be able to order just a burger and cheese. Like, and so I was stressing out about that. We had a conversation and you had pointed out that whether I was seeing it that way or not, with all of the big changes that were coming up, there was a lot of things that were probably weighing on in the back of my mind that I maybe had not given full credence to or kind of played out. And so the one morning I really the realization of my the biggest part of why tracking and everything was stressing me out was because, again, I felt like it was limiting my ability to pick up and go out and do whatever with my friends. And why that bothered me so much at this point in time was because I knew that I've been living here for 10 years and this season is coming to an end and I'm getting ready to move and I don't know where I'm moving to. And I, in theory, will see these people again, but I don't, like, it was just a lot that I didn't know. And so, but I also hadn't really let myself kind of start thinking through that process and not truly mourning, but like letting some of those emotions play out of that I was going to miss a lot of my friends and whether like, cause there's several of them that I see every single day, like all of my gym buddies, like I see them 5 to 6 days a week at least. And then I see them outside of that and my friends at work. Like there's just a lot that I started to let myself kind of think through. I did stop tracking just because I was like, we talked about that just right now for this season, it was what I felt like I needed to do. And was just a source of additional stress for me right now. And within a few days, I could finally, but like the one time I was stretching at the gym and I was like, oh my gosh, I can put my chin to my chest again. Like, I don't feel like I wasn't getting tension headaches at the end of the day, every day. And so I just started to see a lot of that, went on vacation, had a great time with my family, came back and, just have really had to look at like, for this period of time, this season, what is my goal? Like, obviously my goal is always to be overall, to be healthy and to be taking care of myself, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. But what does that look like in this current season? And, knowing that I have a trip to Australia coming up, I have a going away part. Like there's just so many different things, and then the holidays and then another move. And, because I will be moving to Charlotte now in January.
No, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Here I come.
How long? Wait, just we're going to pause here for 1 second to bring you sponsored. No, I'm just playing. So how long ago can you remember the first time that I said that you were going to move to Charlotte?
It was the first time I came down and visited. So it was within a few months of you guys being down there.
So probably 2 years then, I guess. Yeah. Right? At least. I just throwing that out there. So when I tell you that this will happen, it's going to happen, even if it's 2 years from now. Okay. Digress. I'm sorry.
So yeah, so there's a lot. I've had a lot of conversations with people about like, are you still doing keto, and like, what does that look like? And I'm like, honestly, it kind of looks different day to day, and it's something that I can't even put a full description of, or a concise description, I guess, of what it looks like, except for that, I'm trying to maintain it, but I'm also trying to maintain my sanity. And not to say that those are mutually exclusive things, but for where I'm at and so many unknowns and things going on, and being someone who is normally very planful, and I prefer to know exactly what I'm going to do and have plans, and I like to think that I can be spontaneous, but I'm not as good at it as I like to think.
And so, I don't think most people that think they are. They're not. It's
just... So moving into I don't know, we're just going to see what happens, and being okay with that. And while I am most of the time, in the back of my mind, there's still that part of me that is not okay with that, and is still like, yeah, but what about this, or what about this? And so kind of learning how, like, trying to walk through and navigate, giving myself grace, but not also giving myself an easy out all the time, like an excuse to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. But also being able to go and enjoy the experiences that present themselves during this period of time. And some days I feel like I do pretty well with it. And then there are other days that I'm like, yep, nope, we're going to try again tomorrow.
You know, it's weird. It's like, I don't, man, you know, and moving forward from this, Nazi keto and everything, but like this title that, oh, like I'm keto. I don't know, man. It's like the people that are like, oh, I do Weight Watchers. I don't feel like, oh, I do keto. Like when people ask me that, I'm just like, what do you mean I do keto? Like I can't stress enough the fact that I do not have an outlook on keto as a diet, because diets are things that are temporal. Like they exist for a moment in that space and time. And that's not it. And, you know, and I don't know if it's because most people that come to keto come to this eating way because they're trying to hit a number on a scale, like they want to be 20 pounds lighter or 50 pounds or 200 pounds or whatever it is. And because I didn't start it for that reason, I don't know if that's why I don't have that feeling about it. But like, I just am not in this like, oh my goodness, this is why. I also have never looked at a cheat day or a day that I wasn't planning on eating keto in regards to what my weight impact was going to be or my emotional impact of that thing, right? Like even now, Thanksgiving is coming up and Rianda and I have gone back and forth and back and forth with Steaksgiving or traditional Thanksgiving and what does it look like and do we binge? And when I say binge, I mean just like go eat whatever we want, right? Like I still don't really have an answer for that. But what I can say is that the first thing is that I'm not going to look at what I'm doing based on that temporary result of my weight change because of the water retention from that moment in time. But I also know that daily, I know that I am going to be keto. Like that's how I view food. That's how I eat food. And I do it because I know that that's the healthiest way for me to perform and function. I know how I feel when I'm eating that way. And I'm never going to, I'm using that word, ever going to want to say, I just want to eat standard American diet again. It's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be times where I'm just like, you know what, I'm in Rome. And if someone puts eggplant Parmesan in front of me, even though I don't eat vegetables, I'm going to enjoy this eggplant Parmesan. Like I just,
that's going to give you a veal Parmesan.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And take the breading off. But either way, I guess my point is like, I feel like I don't think anyone should be giving themselves excuses at every meal. Oh yeah, well, whatever. Cause that's just a cop out, right? But I also don't think people should be stressing themselves over tasting something, like, or you know what I mean? Like, it depends on the person. It depends on how you get there. But I think that it's really important to recognize the mental association you have with whatever that food item is, keto or otherwise, right? If you feel like, you know, it's like the person climbing the mountain, you tell them, don't look down. And then, oh my goodness, the first thing I do is look down.
Right.
Like, if that's where you're at because you're telling yourself, hey, I can't have Ben and Jerry's, then guess what? You're going to eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's. So don't put yourself in that box. Recognize that every meal, every option, every day, it's a choice. And you can figure out what you choose to do with it. Now, don't complain if you don't understand why your lifts in the gym aren't getting better and why you don't feel like you have the same kind of fuel efficiency and fat efficiency as someone else, or why your abs aren't coming in the way that you want to. Like, those are all determined by what you're doing day in and day out and meal in and meal out, right? But at the same time, I don't think anybody should be giving themselves a myocardial over the fact that they wanted fish and chips on their birthday or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's where you've got to come to that conclusion. And like you said, it's been 6 months, right? And at some point in time, you feel like, oh my goodness, I've been doing this forever. But you haven't. And in the grand scheme of things, let's define success for someone, right? If you, as a standard American dieter, right, if that's your eating, you have a couple days peppered in where you ate just fat, right? Like, say you ate ketogenically speaking, those couple days, I am not going to tell you that you're a ketogenic person. I'm going to tell you that you need a standard American diet. So in the reverse of that, if you are a person that eats ketogenically and there are some days where you have peppered in this typical standard American diet, I'm not going to label you someone that's on a standard American diet. I'm going to say your body runs on ketones. Your metabolic flexibility for that is there. And you've had those days. What are you moving? Papers around?
I moved a gift bag. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, so either way, I think that those are things that people have to look into and recognize and just say, okay, I'm okay with that because that's the season that you're in.
Yeah, and giving yourself like, and allowing for that, because prior to this season, I was able to, like, I was like, you know, when I first started keto, like, it was super easy for me. I mean, there was probably only a handful of days where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is terrible. I just want whatever. But for the most part, I didn't have a lot of issue with it.
Cravings.
Yeah. And even the social pressure didn't bother. Like, I was like, nope, this is what I'm working on and this is my goal. And I was able to focus on that. And right now the goal that I was working towards at that point doesn't seem as important as being able to go where at, like, let other people pick the restaurant, do whatever, find whatever works on the menu, as keto as possible, pass up on the bread beforehand. I did so well when my roommate took me out to dinner, passed up on the bread at the beginning, did my ribeye and Brussels sprouts. And then I totally let the waiter talk me into the key lime pie. That was bad, but the pie was delicious and totally worth it. So, but not stressing, like not freaking out about that and being like, not saying, oh, okay, well, whatever, tomorrow we'll do the same thing. But also not stressing myself out and then making that decision that much worse and that much more of a negative effect on my body by the stress and the cortisol and everything that we've talked about previously about the negative of stress on your body.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's where eating disorders come into play, right?
Exactly.
And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're on it. Like, no one says, oh, I'm bulimically keto. Like, you're bulimic if you're bulimic, you're anorexic if you're anorexic, and all of those have a mental and an emotional association with them that need to be accurately understood. And so you can be keto and bulimic, you can be keto and anorexic, and making sure that you're mentally healthy and emotionally healthy when it comes to those things are super, super important. So cool, congrats. I think that that's huge, and I hope that anyone that's struggling with that can say to themselves, like, take that stress and pressure off, because that's not what it's about,
right?
At all.
Well, and it very much can feel like, while I think keto can definitely set you free from some of the eating disorder stuff, and like Robert has talked about, and several of our guests have talked about, you know, that was something that they've struggled with at different points. And I can't say that I've ever been at the point where it was a true eating disorder, but I've definitely had disordered eating habits in the past. Like I think it was our first podcast and conversation that I mentioned. But there are times that it sometimes feels like keto can very much easily feed into it. And it can be very easy to blame it on that, because in the moment you're like, well, this is stupid. I just don't want to do that anymore. And so like, but the problem isn't keto. The problem isn't whatever particular habit or eating plan you're following at the time. The problem is still those disordered thought patterns and trying to address where those come from. And sometimes that can be really hard to do that and focusing on the numbers and the other. And that's something else that actually I just heard a podcast, totally not keto related podcast, but they were talking about
What was the name of the podcast?
The podcast was Woman Evolve. It is with Sarah Jakes. I don't know. It's TD Jakes' daughter. I forget her last name, but Woman Evolve.
Okay. Woman Evolve. We'll find the show notes, or we'll find the podcast link and I'll put it in the show notes.
But it's the one called Balance. And she talks about at the end where she has realized I can't do everything all the time. And sometimes in order to be able to work in on certain areas of our life, we have to let other areas not necessarily totally lapse, but rest. With the idea that while that area is resting, I'm able to fully focus on this other area that I know needs work and put in the work that needs to happen there, rather than trying to juggle everything at once and really just feeling overwhelmed and not getting anything done in any of the areas. And so I think that's kind of where I'm at right now too, is working on some of the reasons why I feel certain ways about food and different things, and not focusing on, like, not letting it all, my numbers revolve around looking a certain way or being a certain weight, being able to run a certain time, do whatever, but making sure that I am staying focused on being healthy.
Right.
In all aspects.
I think that's good. That's huge. Yeah. And important. I think that, and that's the thing is, you know, people are like, oh, it's not keto related. It's okay. Like, I feel like, you know, the things that I look at and focus on are not, they're not just keto related. Like my desire to grow and be the best version of myself. You know, Rihanna always teases me because she's like, that just sounds so corny and cliche. And I'm like, yeah, it does, but it's the truth. Like, I am on this journey right now of constantly trying to challenge and improve myself. You know, that's why I'm getting deeper and deeper into stoicism and being able to adjust my thought process and patterns, not just around food, but around the stressors in life, around the things that have happened. I keep telling people I've had the summer that great country songs are made on, and it's absolutely the truth. But I wouldn't trade any of the challenges this summer with right now because of the things that it's allowed me to grow into and evolve from. And I think that that's important to recognize that in all aspects, we have to balance out where we can improve and know that we can't carry the world throughout that process. You know, like that's the case. We have to focus on those things. And sometimes that is, I want to compete and I want to be on stage. And if you want to get to 4% body fat in order to do that, then there are going to be some other things that you can't prioritize as high, like the key lime pie at the end of dinner.
Right.
But if mental sanity is what you need right now, because you're in this season in life where everything is absolutely crazy and you can control very few things, and the one thing you'd like to control is your mental sanity, then maybe you should have the key lime pie so you don't drive yourself crazy.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. But that doesn't mean that I think you should have key lime pie every night.
I know. Don't worry. It's not an everyday thing. It was a...
Especially since key lime pie is really not the best of all pies. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's not. So... It's not. But this one, it's not one that, like, if there had been... Well, they don't make almond butter anymore. Almond butter and chocolate pies. It would probably have to be a peanut butter pie. But, like, had that been an option, that totally would have been higher up, or a cheesecake. But I don't know. It was good. It was very tart, which is how I like them. Had this like toffee ring around the outside. Yeah, it was good, but
very
definitely
nice.
Not an everyday or an every week or it was a
let's not try to trigger any of our listeners to go get key lime pie, which, by the way, it is the key lime pie is the state pie of Florida, by the way.
It is. I did not have it while I was in Florida. I had it in Ohio, but it was reminding me of, I was reminiscing of Florida.
We could talk on another podcast episode about how I used to go to the Great American Pie Festival in Florida, in Orlando. Actually, Celebration every year, where it's all you can eat pie. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Yes, fun times. But I don't, in trying to, you know, be sensitive to the time frames for yourself and myself and the listeners, it's been a while. So I think we'll cut it off here and say, I love it. I think it's great. I think this is definitely one for people that are struggling or in different aspects of the journey to kind of get some freedom from it and recognize that, you know, you can die daily to the choices you made and choose new choices every morning and not to beat yourself up on it either way. And however those choices find out, that's not to say be weak or give in to your weakness, but it is to say that getting stronger and having success does come through failures and being able to grow through each one of those. So
yeah. And a mistake early in the day doesn't mean that your whole day has to be like, oh, well, let's just give in and go all that. Like, that is one thing that I've had to run into. It's like, oh, well, my keto day is blown, so I might as well just take it into a full cheat day. And I'm like really working on getting out of that mindset too.
Yes. True story. Cause I do have this moment like, oh, I messed up and I ate a cookie.
Okay. Pick it up next meal, keto. Like, you're good to go.
Yeah, like, that didn't mean that you needed to, like, follow it up with a shake.
Right. Yeah.
But what better to dip the cookie in?
Exactly. Exactly.
Either way. But, yeah, seriously. So I think that I'm glad you included that. But thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you have things to do, and I look forward to the next recording.
Thanks. Hey, so, be safe tonight while you are dealing with all the Halloween crazies.
Yeah, we'll do. Well, I'm sure we'll have interesting things to talk about on the next one and I share some of those stories. But thank you so much. Talk to you. It's been fun.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.